Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Here is the headline, Brandon. The world's happiest man shares his three rules for life. That coming from the New York Times and Dave Marchese.
Wow. All I asked for you to do is give a headline, and now you get to mock me for it because several of our listeners have commented that they wish they knew that. But thank you for doing that, Larry. We'll get tighter at that as we move on. Dave Marchese, man, that dude has, like, for a guy that's written as much as he has, and he's written a ton, he has like almost no digital footprint. Like, he's scrubbed him. I don't know what his deal is. I don't know where he is. He's a good writer. He's written a ton out there, but I'm going to leave him off the Woke Wagameter. You got to assume he's a mystery man. That's all I'm going to assume. I did like the article, though.
Is there a chance he's just a bot then, Brandon?
Maybe. Could be just a bot.
All right. Mathieu Ricard is an ordained Buddhist monk and an internationally known best-selling author about books of altruism, animal rights, happiness, and wisdom. He was the Dalai Lama's French interpreter and holds a PhD in cellular genetics. In the early 2000s, researchers at the University of Wisconsin found that Ricard's brain produced gamma waves, which have been linked to learning, attention, and memory, at such pronounced levels that the media named him the world's happiest man. So in this article, the great Dave Marchese does an interview. They talk about compassion, Vladimir Putin, despair, who gets on his nerves as a Buddhist monk. But here's the part I want to focus on today, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Quote, not to reduce 2,500 years of contemplative science to a single sense, but is there a thought that you can suggest to people that they can carry in their minds that might be helpful to them as they go through life's challenges? His response, if you can, as much as possible, cultivate that quality of human warmth, wanting genuinely for other people to be happy. That's the best way to fulfill your own happiness. This is also the most gratifying state of mind. Those guys who believe in selfishness and say, you do that because you feel good about it. That is so stupid, because if you help others, but you don't care a damn, then you won't feel anything. Wanting to separate doing something for others from feeling good for yourself is like trying to make a flame that burns with light, but no warmth. If we try humbly with some happiness to enhance our benevolence, that will be the best way to have a good life. That's the best modest advice I could give from the happiest man in the world, Brandon.
He does seem very happy. It's ironic to me that so many of these Buddhist monks seem so at peace. I'm like, oh, maybe there's something to that. He talks in the article about some of the stuff we've talked about in here, because it's an interview, and he just talks about contemplative, you know, it's not prayer, but meditation, and how that helps bring him to that place. But the point you were kind of pushing into and said, you know, that was the most interesting to you, and I think is the most interesting part of the article, is this tension around someone saying, well, you're only doing this because it makes you feel good. So you're helping these people because you get something out of it. And the author kind of poses it in a way to say, yeah, I agree. People should be doing it for altruistic reasons, not just like because they want to get some dopamine kick from it, right? Mm-hmm. That's, he's saying ultimately that it doesn't matter why you do it. That the only thing that matters is that you do it, and that it helps the world be a better place. So regardless of what your, and maybe I'm putting words into his mouth, but regardless of your motivation, the outcome is what's important. So yeah. I could see the idea of being mad at people who are just doing something, I don't know, to get, you know, recognition for it or something like that. I could see you, yeah. Like, but his point was, well, if good things are coming out of it, who cares?
Like, that's what I didn't understand. Showing someone kindness because it makes you... Kindness is just kindness. Regardless of what your motive is, you're being kind to someone.
Well, but I think that the author of the article is kind of pressing into it, saying some people just do it because they get something out of it.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing about, like, where people will donate money to an institution so they can get their name on the building. Are they really doing it because they care about the institution, or they really just want the notoriety? He's saying it doesn't matter. Something good has come out of it.
If there's a building, then they're going to study science, and that's good enough.
Right. And if that person is getting a benefit from it, well, they're putting something out into the universe that is good as well. I mean, you've talked about, you're probably more on that new agey vein than I am. No, I mean, you've talked about it quite a bit, about this idea of what you put out into the universe is what's important. And that's not, by the way, that's not some radical concept that you made up. It's people believe that. I believe that. But he's saying ultimately, truly, that we are connected. So no matter what happens, if something good comes out of it, and people, and there's a benevolence to it, and people's lives are better because of it, it doesn't matter the motivation.
Okay, I will push back a smidge on this.
Oh,
you know, the Sacklers, the guys that came up with all the opioids, they started, you know,
right.
They were putting their names on all sorts of buildings, but also selling opioids to America and got us addicted on them.
Yeah, I don't think he's making, I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't think he's saying, forgive the Sacklers for doing what they did. I think that what he's saying is that if people are asking what your motivation is, ultimately the outcome is, he's separating the two. He's saying it doesn't really matter if you get something out of it, but the goodness that comes from it is a good thing. You don't have to be like, but this person is an awful person, even though they did some good things. He's saying, separate out that. You can focus on that, but the other part is actually still good.
You know, I've recently taken a lot of happiness from is just smiling at people as I walk past them on the sidewalk.
Oh, and then they think you're the creepy dude.
Well, probably. Mm. You're right. Okay. But I enjoy getting a smile back from someone of like, don't know him, never see him again. We just literally shared a smile, and I have been finding a lot of satisfaction in it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, for anyone that's ever lived in a major city, you know that there is a lot of a thing around that, because when you smile at somebody, they could, I mean, there is this fear, and probably real fear, that
do I look like a pedophile?
Yeah, you look like a pederast. But
hold on, just on a related subject, could there be a softer person in the world? I'm a 5'10" white guy. I don't have big muscles. Sometimes I'm walking past, you know, like a woman, and I'll see her kind of like clutch her purse and move over, and I'm like, there's just no softer. You could probably beat me up. I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, you're not in the shoes of these young women or women that have to deal with
once
this.
Again, I mean, not in a ski mask. I got a bright shirt on. I could be easily identified.
But I mean, you know, that's I don't know why you're taking us down this rabbit hole.
I
don't blame women for being cautious.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
I mean, maybe it's misguided, but it's still understandable. Back to this guy.
I'm just pushing back about me being a predator and not being able to smile at people because you think
creepy. I'm simply saying that is one of, I mean, that's the nuance here. That's the place that the author of the article is coming from. He's coming from that place of, yeah, dude, but you're probably a creepy predator. And Mathieu Ricard, the French Buddhist monk, is coming at it from a different place. I love the part in the article where he says, when's the last time you were angry? And he's like, you could see him kind of tilt his head going angry. Like he was angry. He said 25 years ago when he got his first laptop because some young monk spilled flour on it accidentally. And he got all upset and the monk looked at him. It's like, you're angry? Like laughing. Like, that's what you're angry about? That makes you angry? And it was a story of like, hey, it's about perspective. What are you angry about? So what? It's just a thing. And I think that is something that is a great reminder for all of us, that most of the time, there is no reason to get angry. Most of the time, it is about seeing the world in a more positive light. And one of the things he said about meditation that I really love that we've talked about is that what allows him to be this way is that he has prepared his mind, his spirit, and his soul to be ready for that, to be able to see those positive things when they're around him. So that instead of being like, I just get up and just kind of hope the world works out, he goes into prayer and meditation so that he could prepare himself to be that person. I thought that was a really cool thought, because I don't do that well, but I know that when I do have meditative time and when I do take time to slow down and just sort of process and breathe, I tend to be better in general with people.
When you're not rushing. When you're not rushing, right. For sure. So we talk about this all the time. Back in the Serengeti, when we lived in a tribe, we were with each other all the time, right? From that moment to now, we've grown further apart. Post-modernity, like we talk about this, we retreat to our chat.
Even though we're closer together.
We're closer together, but we retreat to our chat rooms. Mm-hmm. we're less close than we have ever been in history. And I think this idea of doing something nice for a human being brings us back closer together. It's this, I remember we talked about last week about 15 minutes if you're a loner and stay in your, if you just be around another human being for 15 minutes, you need that or your brain is going to start to unwire itself.
Yeah.
Back to the tribe. Can you just show warmth or kindness to one human being, a smile every day?
Yeah, I think that's what he's pushing at. I think that's what he's saying is that if you prepare yourself to be able to be like that, then don't, and if somebody, you see somebody doing it, don't worry about their motivation. Look for the outcome rather than the motivation, because you don't know what the motivation is. You can't inject your own thoughts into that. You're just seeing the outcome of kindness. That's what he's talking about. Just being kind into the world, putting that out into the world is better than not.
As a giant pushback to this, everything we've just said.
Sure.
He does have this, I told you at the very beginning, he has this gamma waves in his brains that makes him the actual happiest person in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. I'm kind of a grouchy
but
guy.
But did he always have it?
Well, I think that's what he argues.
The question is that he's saying that he developed it over time through prayer and meditation. He developed it by practice. He developed it by being kind, and then it came to him that way. And I was like, huh. So just like everything else, if you want to get in shape, you got to work out.
Yeah.
If you want to be a kind person, you've got to work those kindness muscles. That's just the only way to do it. And so I like that.
And also, like, if you want to be happy, you got to, you know what? I am learning more and more from you as we do these shows. If I want to be happy, I got to practice being happy.
That's right. Absolutely. And everybody that's listening right now needs to practice being happy, even if it's for 1 or 2 minutes a day. I mean, we all know that person. And I know I've been that person that's just like negative or unhappy. I don't think I've been this person, but we all know this person who their negative energy just flushes a room. You're just like, oh, it's just, they suck the life out of a room. Yeah, and in fact, I know this woman who's just terribly unhappy, and everyone around her, it's like she's a dark hole of bitterness. That's the opposite of what we're talking about. If she would just one day practice, just for 5 minutes, I'm going to be kind to the people around me, I think she'd break out of that. But again, what do I know, Larry?
If we hooked up electrodes and looked at your gamma waves in your brain, Brandon, what would we find?
I'd probably be somewhere in the middle. That's what I'm guessing. I'd probably be somewhere in the middle.
So you're a middle happier.
I think I'm happy. I'm more happy than I am sad, but I don't know how much of that is genetic and how much of that is learned. I definitely think that I see the world. Typically, I see the world when I allow myself to. I typically see the world as a more positive place than a negative place, you know?
Okay. What makes you happy? Leave a comment. Go to smarticlepodcast.com. Or Goodreads and follow the Smarticle podcast, right, Brandon?
Good pods, not Goodreads. Good pods.
Oh, Goodreads, good pods. Leave a comment. It really does help us out. And of course, subscribe to the Smarticle podcast and tell a friend to listen. Brandon, thank you for describing yourself as the middlest, happiest person around.